Thank you, Dustin. Good evening.
Good evening.
In all my years of marriage, I can almost without fail ask my wife if I can bring home a pet, a dog, a cat, anything, and her response is an immediate no. Absolutely not. They say that when you get married, you marry someone like your mom if you're a guy. And I can remember bringing a hound dog home one time when I was about 14, and I walked it home from all the way across town. A guy gave it to me, and when I got home, my mom looked at that thing and she said, "You take it back right now." However, as the years have rolled around, my wife has developed a soft spot for strays. I guess it's probably been there all along. Perhaps it's just been dormant. So now if there's a kitten that someone is trying to pawn off on us, she's as solid as a rock. You couldn't pay her to take that cat. However, should one wander up that looks a little hungry, looks a little lost, or maybe like it just needs a home, she's sure to take it in, feed it, nurture it, and move it right up the top of the ladder to the top of all the other pets. This tendency has resulted in the acquisition of 4 cats that I know of right now that were all rescued from some poor fate that they were doomed to endure. And she has spoiled them rotten. Now, the 2 youngest of these cats, one of them is about grown and the other one is probably about a little less than half grown, and they are at my feet every morning when I get ready for work. And so she feeds those to this canned cat food. I said she spoiled them, right? So she feeds them this canned cat food, and I give half to the big one and half to the little one. And they start eating, and the big one eats about a third of what I give it and then wanders off and goes outside and leaves me alone. The little one eats up everything that I give her, and then she turns and eats up everything that the other cat left behind, and then she looks at me like, "Do you have anything else?" She'll go through the dog's dishes and sniff them and make sure there's nothing left behind. She has a ferocious appetite. As this ritual plays out day by day, I started thinking about this hungry little cat and how big of an appetite she has, and thought she must really want to grow. This got my mind to thinking about our lives as Christians. How many of us have an appetite for the Word of God? Which one of us are like that bigger cat that nibble a little bit and go on? And how many of us just want to take in the Word of God more and more? Give me more. I'm out. Give me more. Feed me. Feed me. Feed me. I need more of the Word of God. I just want to grow. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1 and 2 says, "Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby." God not only expects us to grow, but He expects us to have such an appetite that we can't help but grow. Does it not make sense then that we, when we become Christians, we are to go through a growth process? 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. And it says here in 1 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1, "And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as unto one spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babes in Christ." This indicates that there is a time in which we are not mature spiritually. We are not ready to hear those things. There are some things in the Scriptures that are just too much for us to comprehend. They're too strong for us to handle. Like handing a baby a fajita taco, a newborn, they can't handle it. They're not designed to handle it. They need to grow to a point that they can handle that. There are some things spiritually that we need to grow into before we can totally comprehend. Now let's compare our spiritual growth again to another type of growth. For instance, let's consider emotional growth. Those who have raised children know that some grow faster emotionally than others. However, we're pleased to see when our children begin to make solid adult decisions. We're pleased to see even at a young age when they start making very mature decisions, we're proud of them and we look at that and we're happy that happens. But what if they didn't? What if they grew up physically, but emotionally they stayed third graders? What if as adults they would cry and stomp their feet when they didn't get their way? Would you be a proud parent if they never grew enough emotionally to function as an adult? I believe you would worry about them. How would you feel if you were the one that wasn't growing emotionally as an adult? What if you were the one that cried and stomped your feet when you didn't get your way? Would you just accept that as normal? If we wouldn't accept it when we or our children don't grow emotionally, why do we readily accept it when we don't grow spiritually? Paul mentioned or admitted that he had not grown completely. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Philippians chapter 3, verses 13 and 14. Paul readily agreed that he had not grown completely. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. When looking at people or even animals physically, we can readily see or determine whether they are full grown or not. I'm sure Charlie can look at his cattle and he could go out there and look at the whole herd and he could tell you the ages of those cattle. He can say that one's not even a year old yet. He can look at another and say that's a 5-year old, that's a 6-year old, that's a 4-year old. He can tell by looking at them. We can tell when someone is fully grown physically. They eventually reach a point at which they grow no more. Consider this. If you have 4 men, one is 5'6", one is 6'1", one is 6'4", and the other is 6'10". Each of these men are 45 years old. Now, unless there is something strange in the water, these men will not be growing anymore. The guy who is 5'6" may wish all he wants to be the guy that is 6'10", to be 6'10". I want to be as tall as you someday. It's not going to happen. It's just not. Luke 12, verse 25, Jesus says, "And which of you, taking thought, can add to his stature 1 cubit? We do not have the ability to change our height or to change to make ourselves taller, no matter how hard we wish. We reach a certain point and we're done. Even plants have a point at which they stop growing. In fact, if you look up something random on the internet, Google how tall does a lantana get? You'll find out that a lantana gets anywhere from 2 to 6 feet. That may seem like a big spread, but it's still a standard. And we understand that that's the size that they get. They don't get bigger than that. You don't look out there and see a big old giant tree and say, is that a lantana? No, that's an oak tree. Lantana only get, you know, they stay, we understand that. Other plants are the same way. We understand they only grow so tall. Now, in light of all that, consider this. The one place that growth never peaks out and starts to decline is our spiritual growth. Our spiritual growth never ends.
Amen.
In fact, we know that the physical body, after reaching full growth, then starts to decline. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 1. For we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, we have a building of God, and house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. Okay, so physically we grow to a certain height, and that's as tall as we'll ever get. I remember asking, I had 2 uncles that were giants, and they were huge, they were tall. And I asked them one time after I was an adult, I said, how tall are you? And my uncle said, when I checked into the army, I was 6'4", but I've shrunk quite a bit since then. As they got older, they began to settle and became shorter and shorter. Now, they'll never go back to what they were when they were in third grade, but there's a growth spurt, that's it. Spiritually, however, we never stop growing unless we decide that we want to stop growing. That's all on us. If you don't grow spiritually, it's your own fault. As much then as we exercise and eat right and live healthy in every way, we can only prolong the process or slow it down. But spiritually, since we have the propensity to never stop growing, we should do all we can to continue growing. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. 2 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 16. It says here in 2 Corinthians 4:16, "For which cause we faint not, but though our inward man perish, yet our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. Although our body may be declining physically, we may be shrinking physically, we may be getting weaker, and you ever try to pick something up and you can't? And I used to pick that up all the time. Or try to open something and you just can't get it. We're getting weaker and weaker the older we get, for us old guys. But emotionally, the inward man is renewed day by day. And that's upon us. We renew that every day on our own by studying and looking into God's Word and seeing what it has to say. I remember one time a gospel preacher who he had the Bible memorized, literally memorized. You could ask him, throw a random verse out there and he could recite that verse. Any passage in the Bible, open your Bible, put your finger there and say, what does this verse say? And he would recite it. He could recite every verse. And one day they found him sleeping in the nursery and they turned on the light and they said, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to wake you up. And he said, you didn't wake me up, I was just studying my Bible. He was studying by going over it in his head. Nevertheless, he could actually read a chapter by just going over it in his head. And he said he's never finished learning. He's always learning something new. I haven't memorized yet, I always get something new from it. Have you ever seen one of those people that protest by going on a hunger strike? I've personally never understood this. This is like someone saying, if you don't give me what I want, I'm going to kill myself. Well, bye. I don't get it. I don't understand it. However, when someone refuses to feed themselves spiritually, no one thinks anything of it. Worse yet, some even reject spiritual nourishment and growth altogether. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14. 2 Peter chapter 3, verses 14 through 18 says, wherefore, beloved, seeing that you look for such things, be diligent that you may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation. Even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures. It's telling us that there are some things that are difficult to understand, and some people just make it even harder, and they find all the scriptures, and I just can't understand this, or they just want to go back to something that I've been told it means this. That's not what it means. Look, I don't want to hear it. It continues, unto their own destruction. They that are unlearned and unstable wrestle with these scriptures. They do also to other scriptures unto their own destruction. You therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest you also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness. And then he says this, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen. Grow. Instead of wrestling around with the scriptures, grow. Instead of rejecting the scriptures, grow. Instead of having a hard time understanding this, grow. Because there are going to be some things that you don't understand. What do you do then? You find the things that you can handle. Can you imagine a little kid getting on a bicycle and he says, I can't reach the pedals. He sits on the seat, he can't reach the pedals. Even when he tries to stand up, he can't reach the pedals. The bar in there keeps him from being able to reach the pedals. I'll never learn to ride a bike. No, you'll learn to ride a bike. You just need to start off on a smaller one. And once you master that and you grow a little bit, then you can fit on the bigger bike and you'll learn to ride it. The same goes for the scriptures. There are some things that we just can't understand. Instead of wrestling with that and fighting with that and beating your head and saying, I'll never be able to understand it. Grow. Find the things you can understand and grow. The Bible is written in such a way that it was given to all men so that we can all understand it. In looking at this verse a little closer, we see Christian growth depends upon one committing themselves to study. So many times when we think of evil practices, we think in terms of the other guy. This is not talking about me. I'm a good person. Ephesians chapter 4 and verse 31. Ephesians 4 verse 31. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. Malice can be understood, we saw it in another passage just a few seconds ago. Malice can be understood as malicious behavior. If we've ever had any of these character traits that are mentioned there in Ephesians 4:31, before, if we've had these in our lives before, then as Christians, we are to grow out of them. You ever see your kid put on their shoes and they struggle and struggle, and you go and look and it's like, these shoes are too small. I just bought them like 2 months ago. I already outgrew them, Mom. What do? Too bad. You're going to wear them because I paid a lot of money for them. You're going to wear them for the next 6 months. No. You go and get them another pair of shoes that they fit into. Look at that. They're growing. They're outgrowing these shoes quick. He's growing like a weed. And we encourage that growth. Feed them some more. Buy some more clothes. Feed them some more. Buy them some more clothes. We encourage physical growth. It's an encouragement to us to see our kids grow big and strong. We even tell them, you want to grow up to be big and strong like your dad? You want to grow? You want to fit into those things? Ever see a kid put on his dad's boots? One of these days, sure enough, one of these days, I'm going to grow into those boots. Spiritually, we need to grow as well. If we have a healthy appetite for the Word of God, we will want to know more and more about Him and His will. This, in turn, will strengthen us spiritually. We will literally grow spiritually. I'm sure you've seen the pictures on TV of the starving animals, and they're trying to get you to send money. Or even worse yet, the people in Africa. They show you these children that are starving, and they just gather up money and send it over there. You can feed one of these kids for pennies a day, a little bit. Doesn't take much. You see how terrible those kids look? How poor they are? They're scraggly. They're on the brink of death. They're 1 foot in the grave, literally. You ever wonder about those kids and think about how they look? How do you think that we look to God when we're starving spiritually? How do you think we look to God when we're living on just a little bit a day? We're starving spiritually. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14. For the time you ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat. For everyone that useth milk is unskillful in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But strong meat belongeth to them that are of full age, even those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. He's saying here, if you're not growing spiritually, you're going to start to back up. Almost like that old person that gets so old that they start to shrink and they start to shrivel. I just can't remember the things I used to know. I can't figure this out. I don't know how to get through this anymore. I used to be able to do that, but I can't anymore. The same thing goes for our spiritual lives. If we don't grow spiritually, we're going to start backing up. And we won't be able to do those things. We're going to be in need of someone teaching us instead of being able to teach someone else. I'm sure that everyone will agree when I say that to grow spiritually, one would have to make a deliberate effort. That is, that they would have to deliberately decide that they wanted to grow spiritually. On the other hand, those who do not grow spiritually have deliberately decided that they won't. That sounds scary. No, I haven't. I haven't decided that. Well, yeah, apparently you have. We have the Bible at our fingertips. It's right there for us. We can grow. We can study. We can grow spiritually. It's always a challenge to a preacher when someone comes up to him and says, "Can you tell me something about this verse?" Whew. Yeah, that's a tough one. Let me look into that. Let me do some study. I don't think I'm completely prepared. It means something about to this nature, and this is who they're talking to, but let me get my facts straight before I make a judgment. I haven't studied that verse in a while. You know what that does? That encourages me as a preacher because I see where people are growing spiritually. The questions go from very, very simple questions to very, very complex questions when people start growing spiritually. Then they're coming up and they're saying, I want to better understand this. It's not a bad thing to have to ask someone, how do I understand this? Just be sure that you get a Bible answer and not an opinion answer. Amen. What we just read in the last part of 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 18 says, "But grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To Him be glory both now and forever. Amen." Amen. I looked at the Greek words in this passage. The Greek word in this passage translated as literal as it can be. I mean, it is the closest literal translation that you can imagine. Are you growing in grace and the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Many people may not know whether they are or not, but let me assure you, if you have been a member of the Lord's church for more than a year and have no more knowledge than you did when you started, then you're not growing. It might be time to do some serious study. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 15, a very familiar passage. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15 says, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." We often hear this verse quoted and we think, yeah, I study. But there is often, there's more to it than just study once in a while or opening the Bible, read a couple of chapters and then closing the Bible. That's not really study. Even to study often, if you fail to rightly divide the word of truth, then you're not going to grow. Look at the very next verse after that. "But shun profane and vain babblings, for they will increase more unto ungodliness." They will increase unto more ungodliness. How many people spend more time trying to prove what the Bible doesn't say than they do trying to prove what it does say? That's a sad statement. What a waste of energy. Have you noticed right now? I mentioned this a little bit this morning, but have you noticed that how politicians and the media constantly lie to us? They can say one thing and we believe it. Then they're found to have been lying, and what do? They change their story and say something else, and we're like, okay, and we step over to that and believe that. They start some other lie, and instead of not believing their lies anymore, we just soak up the lies like a sponge. Wear a mask. Okay. Don't wear a mask. Okay. Stay home. Okay. Go to Walmart. Okay. Can't have a funeral for your dear loved one. Okay. Can have a funeral with 1,000 people in attendance for a drug dealer, thug that was murdered, but still, okay. Well, the media told you not to have a funeral for your loved one, but they told you, they show you the funeral of a drug dealer that was killed, a junkie. Okay, no problem. My point is this: we believe everything that they say almost without questioning it. I know most of you question what they say, but we have no other source of information. This is where we get our information from, so we take it like, okay, what else can I say? And when it comes to the Bible, we often spend more time trying to prove it wrong than we do spend trying to understand it. Well, I've already been told what it says, and I'm not going to change my mind. I already understand it, I'm not going to change my mind. I've had people tell me, I studied at the feet of this guy, or I studied about... What difference does that make? If you're not studying to show thyself approved unto God, you're not growing spiritually. Amen. If we don't partake of the right spiritual food, we won't grow spiritually. You think about this. If you have a kid that he doesn't want to eat, all he wants to eat is candy all the time. Take him to the dentist, and the dentist says, man, his teeth are rotten out. Man, that's bad. So does he brush his teeth? Yeah, all the time. What does he eat? Well, he likes candy and Oreos. What else do you feed him? Nothing. He's looking a little malnourished. Yeah, but that's all he wants. As an adult, you have to encourage him for growth. This is all you're going to get. Take away all that stuff. We have to eat the right kind of food spiritually as well. Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 25. 1 verse 25 and then into chapter 2. 1:25 to chapter 2, verse 2. It says, "But the word of the Lord endureth forever, and this is the word by which the gospel is preached unto you. Wherefore, laying aside all malice and all guile and hypocrisies and envies and all evil speakings, as newborn babes desire the sincere milk of the word, that you may grow thereby." That's a passage we read a little earlier. Our worship assemblies have not been the same since the widespread fear of coronavirus. Many people who have never really missed worship, they would show up every Sunday, have found themselves sitting at home week after week, month after month. I'm afraid that many will grow away from God altogether, because sometimes growth is not just, sometimes you may stop growing spiritually, but you're still growing. You're growing away from God. And that's a scary thought. Some people may be growing closer to God because they finally got the time to sit down and study their Bibles the way they should have been doing all along. If we're not careful, we can grow apart from God. When we come together for our Sunday morning Bible class, we should be growing spiritually. Have you ever sat in a class and had something revealed to you that you didn't know, or that perhaps you had never seen or had never thought of before? I'm not talking about things like, I never realized that the Israelites were fed manna from God, but I'm talking about something that is life-changing. You read that and that is powerful. That is incredible. Look at what that says. I have actually read my Bible cover to cover from all the way, the beginning of Genesis to the end of Revelation, on more than one occasion. They call it a daily Bible reading where you can read through the whole Bible in 1 year. I've done that on several occasions. Yet I can read a verse sometimes and look at that and say, whoa, where did that come from? I don't believe I've ever read that. Perhaps every time I read it, I just blew right past it, never really got into the meat of the words that I was reading. We can do that. We can study sometimes and we can see something in the Bible that's really life-changing. The Bible is a life-changer. And there's stuff in there that will change your life forever. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16. 2 Timothy 3:16. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. God has given us all that we need in order to grow closer to Him. But He leaves that up to us to decide whether we want to do that or not. Now, if you're growing in the grace and knowledge of Christ, then you will find that you will become so entangled that there won't be any room to separate. There won't be any way to separate you from the Word of God. And what I mean by that is once you start growing and you start really growing and your roots start becoming deeper and deeper in the Word of God, you'll find that everybody you talk to, you're going to try to find, they're going to say things and you're going to say, yeah, you know, that brings to mind this, and it's going to make you remind you of something in the Bible. And you're going to want to share the gospel with every conversation that you have with people because you've found something that is invaluable. The Word of God. The gospel of Jesus Christ. It was written in such a way, Jesus put it out in such a way that it changes lives. We need to be so wrapped up in God's Word that we can't help but grow spiritually. The old phrase, get into the Word of God until the Word of God gets into you, is a standard. It never fails. It never fails. In fact, many people's problems that they come to me and say, I just don't know what I need to do. Here's what you need to do for the next month. Read the Bible every single day. Show up for worship service every single Sunday morning. Show up for Bible class every Sunday morning. Show up for worship Sunday night. Show up for Wednesday night. Try it for a month and see what happens. You'd be amazed at how many people's problems go away once they start studying and growing spiritually. God has given us all that we need. All that we need. Colossians chapter 1, verse 10 and 11. Colossians chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. That ye may walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Are you open to growth? Are you really open to growth? Is that something that you really look forward to doing? Are you setting aside some time every day to grow? You think about this. What if you wanted to learn a new language? Said, I'm going to learn this language. I'm going to be going to, it's September. I'm going to be going to Russia in November. And I need to learn that language as best I can before I take that trip. The first night you get you order a kit in the mail that comes in and it's how to learn this language. It's got tapes or disc or whatever it may be. And the first night you take it all out and you look at it and say, I'm going to start my study tomorrow night. Monday, I'm going to start my study tomorrow night. Friday rolls around, you haven't started it yet. I'll get to it. You listen to one, he says, this is kind of hard. You listen to another one a week later, ain't going to do it. What's going to happen when November rolls around? You're not going to be able to do it. When I was in school, I had the pleasure of meeting a man by the name of Troy Spradlin. Troy is a good friend of mine. And now he's a gospel preacher. He graduated the year after I did. While he was in preaching school, his whole goal was to go to Paraguay and become a missionary. That's what he was doing. He was there to gain the knowledge of the preaching school so that he could become a missionary in Paraguay. And he was going to have to learn Spanish. Before he ended his first year, he had already preached his first sermon in Spanish. This is a guy that never spoke a word of Spanish before. He sat down and he got busy and he studied the language until he was proficient at it, enough to preach a sermon. Spiritually, there are people that have sat in the pews for 30, 40, 50 years, Bible in hand, and they couldn't tell you the plan of salvation because they don't study enough to know what God expects of them. That's a sad, sad thing indeed. Spiritual growth is something that as Christians we should all be desiring to do. It should be such a strong desire that it consumes our thoughts and a lot of our time. When we really grow spiritually, those around us will see the changes in us. They will know something is happening in our lives and it shows, and they will want to be like that and they want to have a part of that. If you have any need, the message is yours. Won't you come while together we stand and sing the song that's been selected.